This Sunday is always called Good Shepherd Sunday. And so the gospel always comes from St. John chapter 10. And there's just several things that I want to mention about Good Shepherd Sunday. You know, we start out today listening to St. Peter, both in the first reading and the second reading. The first reading, of course, from the Acts of the Apostles. One of my favorite things about St. Peter is how bold he is with the Holy Spirit. Once he's received the Holy Spirit, he's able to stand in front of the people who just 50 days earlier, put the Lord to death. And instead of sort of dancing around the issue, he comes out because they're all wondering why he's so bold all of a sudden, and he says, "This Jesus whom you killed has been raised from the dead, and there's no life in anyone else except in him." And then what happens? 3,000 people want to be baptized and become members of the Catholic faith. And I always think that's such an instructive point. St. Peter did not go out there with the intention to offend anybody, but it never kept him from speaking the truth, because he was truly a shepherd after the heart of Jesus. And when we listen to the gospel today, the Lord is trying to help the Pharisees to see something that they will not see. But it doesn't just apply to the Pharisees. St. Thomas, when he writes, gives a homily actually on this particular reading, he says that the Lord is he is the shepherd, he is the gate, and he is the pasture. He's thought of everything to take care of his flock. And in his goodness and his love for his people, he has chosen to share his power as shepherd with mere men. And when you think about the last 50 years, I'm sure there's not one of us sitting in here that doesn't have a family member or a friend who has left the Catholic faith. And I'm reminded of something that soon-to-be blessed Fulton Sheen said once. There are people who say they hate the Catholic faith, but they only hate what they think it is. They actually don't know it, because if you knew it, how could you ever leave it? And the reason I think of that is because I know from where I grew up, not to throw shade on my home state, but we made our first communion, and 2 years later, we made our first confession. And I just can say it's just the truth. The truth was not preached. We didn't really know our faith. And it wasn't like we were just one-offs. It was the whole diocese. Now, certainly there were individual families that did. But I knew of no place that was teaching the Catholic faith in its pure form. And when you think about what's happened in our own country in these 50 years, how so many times priests and bishops that we failed to preach the truth of our faith, and then we're stunned when the pew's empty. There's a great line from George Weigel when he was talking about the vocation, supposed vocation crisis, and he said, "Men will give them their lives for a mystery, but not for a question mark." They can give their whole life to Christ and not know everything about Christ, because we're human and he's not, and we can't understand all that it means to say that he is true God and true man. But we can understand enough to recognize the great mystery we serve. And as Deacon Meyerhoff will do in just a month from yesterday, we plant our faces on the floor and give up everything, so that we can be faithful ministers of Christ. So a few weeks ago at Holy Thursday, I asked you all to make sure you pray for your priests. And that's not just a pious sentiment. We priests need the courage of St. Peter. But you know what goes with the courage is the conviction of St. Peter. The conviction that everything that the Catholic Church teaches is true. that Jesus Christ is true God and true man, and that he came to reveal the love of the Father by giving the ultimate sacrifice and then rising from the dead, and that all of his moral teachings are absolutely true. Not just the easy ones, I say easy in a certain way, like thou shalt not kill, that's the one commandment the whole world knows. After that one, I think it's around 60% of people can get the second one, another one, and then it drops real far off for the next eight. But we have to be convicted, we priests and bishops, convicted of the truth of what we've given our life for. And you really can't talk about divine mercy, or you can't talk about Good Shepherd Sunday without talking about the family. You know, people across the world, it's a strange thing, but most people, Catholic people, particularly bishops and priests, if you say you're from Wichita, they've heard of it. And you think about Wichita, who would ever know about Wichita? Unless you're in the airline industry. But in the Catholic faith, we are a diocese that's known around the world. And there's not one bishop in the world who doesn't want to have what we have. And I always say, I'm sorry, but you can't. Because you have not done what we have done. And what did we do? I say we, obviously a collective. The first thing that's so important about the Diocese of Wichita, we've never had a bad bishop. There are many dioceses who cannot say the same thing. One of our bishops in particular, who was, I think it's fair to say, wildly unpopular. And his name was Bishop Maloney. But Bishop Gerber told me, he said, I could not have done what I did if Bishop Maloney didn't do what he did. And what did Bishop Maloney do? When Humanae Vitae came out, he was just the brand new bishop of Wichita, and he told the priests, you will not violate this teaching. You will not preach against it, you will support it, and you will be faithful to this teaching. If you won't, you're not in the right place. And I'm not saying I don't know all the priests at that time. I don't know if they all listened and did that. But what did that do for our families? Because this is one of the things that makes us so different. Every diocese has wonderful families. But in the 1970s and 80s, the baby boomers in this diocese, so many of them were faithful to the teachings of the church. And you're not going to have priests if you don't have faithful families. And so we had some lean years, but for about 50 years, we average ordaining about 3 men a year. And that means today we have, I think it's over 140 priests for a diocese with 114,000 Catholics. And there's other things that have gone into that. What have those families done? So many of them, in our own parish particularly, but certainly across the diocese, so many of them have an hour right in that chapel. And they pray. And so many people, not enough, but many, are willing to offer one of their children to the church. I remember a good friend of mine, she did not grow up in this diocese, but we went to college together. And she did grow up in a very faithful family. But when she was going off to the convent, her family was not excited in any way. And that was very tough for her. And in a certain way, I've mentioned this before, we see priests, diocesan priests are everywhere. You grow up with them. And that's part of the reason why we're so blessed. We've had such wonderful priests, and now we have over 50 men in the seminary. In our own parish, we have 5 right now. We're adding 2 in the fall, Peter DeMarco and Abe Perot. But we don't have any girls going to the convent, hardly. We all know, I hope, the Dillards There's daughter, Sister Marie Bronislava. She's a cloistered nun. And I've mentioned this before, that's almost the hardest vocation in the church, not just for the sister, but for the family. But God wants sisters in his church. And we need our families in Wichita to be just as generous with their daughters as they have been with their sons. Because religious life isn't just a nice decoration that the church has. It's nice if you see a habited nun every now and then. No. It's something that's constitutive of the church. We need sisters. And so as we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday, in our own parish, let's continue to ask the Lord to bless us, because he has blessed us immensely. We have so many wonderful families. And let's pray that all our families can be generous with the Lord, because that's why we have the number of priests we do, because so many families have been that generous. And we'll keep praying, we'll keep our adoration hours. Maybe some of you don't have one. I highly encourage you to get one. In fact, we've got a list right out here with all the hours we need filled. You can pick one up today. But we also need to sacrifice. Sacrifice is an important way to deny our own will for something greater. And we need to keep doing that out of thanksgiving to God for his goodness to us. And then we also have to give thanks. There's not one reason that we should ever be boastful or proud about the way the Lord has blessed this diocese. Because as Job says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Obviously, we want to continue to have young men enter the seminary. We want more young women to enter the convent. And we want more young men and women to discern the vocation of marriage and to commit to the radical way of life it is to be a Catholic married couple. And that's going to take prayer, and it's going to take sacrifice. But most important and above all, it's going to take the grace of the Lord. And that should be something that we give thanks and praise to him every day for the way he's blessed our diocese, for the way he's blessed our families, and for the way he's blessed our priests. And then finally, by way of reminder, pray for your priests and for the bishops, that we can have the conviction of St. Peter, that we can have the fervor of St. Peter, and that we can have the courage of St. Peter.